So Genesis 31. Genesis 31 is where we are, and we'll be we actually go into chapter 32, a couple verses into chapter 32. But just remember the kind of the chiasm that that we're working with in this over the chapters, and from chapter 29 through 31, Jacob's time outside of Haran. So he arrives in Haran in chapter 29, and he departs from Haran in chapter 31, and that's where we are here. So he's setting out to leave in this passage that we're going to be in. He's setting out to leave, but not with just the staff, like he's going to say later on when he thanks God for what he's done. Not with just only a staff. He's leaving as basically three companies. So the all the flocks, and then obviously his wives and his children. So and the whole household. So he is coming back to the land, a wealthy man with a great house. So I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. It's 55 verses plus the two in the chapter two, or I'm sorry, in the chapter 32. So the big one, we probably won't get further than verse 24 tonight, but just to have the whole thing in our minds. So now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, "Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has gained all this wealth." And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was, and said to them, "I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said, 'The spotted shall be your wages,' then all the flock bore spotted. And if he said, 'The striped shall be your wages,' then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, 'Jacob,' and I said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Lift up your eyes and see, all the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred.' Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, 'Is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do.' So Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels. He drove away all his livestock, all his property that he had gained, the livestock in his possession that he had acquired in Padan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods. And Jacob tricked or stole the heart of Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he intended to flee. He fled with all that he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. When it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him for 7 days and followed close after him into the hill country of Gilead. But God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream by night and said to him, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' And Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban with his kinsmen pitched tents in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me, so that I might have sent you away with mirth and songs, with tambourine and lyre? And why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and my daughters farewell? Now you have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' And now you have gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. Anyone with whom you find your gods shall not live. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what I have that is yours and take it." Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two female servants, but he did not find them. And he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. Laban felt all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her, And she said to her father, "Let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the way of women is upon me." So he searched, but did not find the household gods. Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. Jacob said to Laban, "What is my offense? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? For you have felt through all my goods. What have you found of all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, and I have not eaten the rams of your flocks. What was torn by wild beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. From my hand you required it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. By day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." Then Laban answered and said to Jacob, "The daughters are my daughters, and the children are my children. The flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine. But what can I do this day for these my daughters, or for their children whom they have borne? Come now, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his kinsmen, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jigar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me today." Therefore, he named it Galeed and Mitzpah. For he said, "The Lord watch between you and me when we are out of one another's sight. If you oppress my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters, although no one is with us, see, God is witness between you and me." Then Laban said to Jacob, "See this heap and the pillar which I have set between you and me. This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, and you will not pass over this heap and this pillar to me to do harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. And Jacob offered a sacrifice in the hill country and called his kinsmen to eat bread. They ate bread and spent the night in the hill country. Early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned home. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim. All right, so lots of stuff, long passage, long chapter. What do you observe, and what questions do you have?
Mine doesn't have that last paragraph. leaves off it, then Laban departed and returned home.
Do you? You need to go to the next chapter.
Yeah, he
went
to
the
two. Okay. Yeah. Does your app not just stop at the chapter and then you gotta?
And then you have to click over.
Okay. Yeah. Then that's. So the reason to stop it to go into chapter 32 has to do with the angels of God met him and this is God's camp. All the way back up in chapter 31, verse 3, you have after Laban's sons are grumbling, Jacob sees that he doesn't have favor with Laban as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, so God appears to Jacob, and so it creates a nice inclusio between the within. So God appears to Jacob before, and then by the angels, God appears to Jacob at the end. So that's the reason to go into chapter 32. What observations, other questions?
Jacob attributes his prosperity and his wealth to God.
Yeah.
He's not taking credit for
that. Right. So yes. Absolutely, yeah.
I think it's interesting that he's saying that to Leah and Rachel about how God has done this, and then Rachel goes and steals the idol. Mm. Like, why did she do that?
Right, yeah. Why? Yeah.
I think that comes up again, but
It comes up later in chapter 35.
Yeah, he's proclaiming the faithfulness of God, and she's like, I need these idols.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was the reasoning behind Jacob's statement? What was his motivation
for so long?
Yeah.
Well, that 6 years, I can't remember if the number of years was named in. Yeah, but I mean, was the agreement that he would stick around for another 6 years? I can't remember. So the 14 years, all he gets from the 14 years are the two daughters, and perhaps the children too, but he has not. So at the in chapter 30, he says, I have this family, but I have no way to, I'm still under your thumb. I have no way to provide for my own house. I'm only working for you. So what am I going to do for my house? And so he sticks around for another 6 years to build up with this agreement that he's had with Laban to build up his wealth. I think he sticks around for another 6 years. On the one hand, to build up his wealth, and then but the time is not cut short, but it is stopped by the tension that he's feeling and recognizing.
He should have gone earlier.
You think he should have gone earlier? Well, it is an interesting choice that he. Laban's got a point when he confronts him. You left secretly, things like that. Although Laban's kind of going between two.
Laban did him first.
It's not the best relationship here. It'd be interesting, could Jacob have, I mean, it's, it depends, like if things are going well for you, like they were for Jacob, I mean, do you want to get out of that situation so quickly? I don't know.
He asked back in verse 30, or back in chapter 30, he said, send me away.
Yeah.
And then Laban said, well, I've figured out that the Lord has blessed me because of you.
Mm-hmm.
So stay, mm-hmm. and then just name your price, basically.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And so I think Jacob, he was staying as long as the blessing was taking place. And then verse 31 or chapter 31, he's like, okay, now I think now it's like, okay, there's thing, tide is turning.
Yeah. Laban's sons recognize this, our puny flock, and in comparison to Jacob's massive flock, like he's totally ripped off Laban and in their minds ripped off Laban and we're we're on the receiving end of that too, because this is our inheritance. Yeah.
What did you say last time? Or last time we were here, you said you've been Laban.
That was the poplar. So when
when
Jacob cuts strips into the trees, and then he and then also the strips of white in the branches or whatever, it's the same root letters for the name Laban. So Laban was getting Labaned by the with Jacob's breeding scheme.
Yeah. So this is another example. I mean, before Jacob was being Laban again. And again, throughout 31, I mean, you're talking about Jacob's giving God the credit for all this kind of stuff. But Laban, again, is pretty conniving, because it's all about him. Mm-hmm. You've taken my daughters. You've taken my flocks. You've taken my... So you see a contrast there.
Yeah.
And again, Laban is trying to Laban him again.
Right.
You know,
convincing
that this day.
I'm glad you brought that up, because so this these two, so Rachel stole her father's household gods, and then ESV has tricked, but then it's got a note that says stole the heart of. And so Rachel stole something, Jacob stole something, but this stealing here shares letters with this, where it's so this is like Ha Arami, and then the word for steel is Rama, and so Laban got Labaned with the sticks, and now he's getting Laban's getting stolen by Laban the stealer is getting stolen from the puns in here are it's good. But that's to communicate what goes around comes around, that kind of, and that's what the part of the message of the Proverbs is, that if you live this way, it will come back on you. So and Jacob has experienced that at Laban's hands, right? And now Laban is experiencing that at Jacob's hands. So
Laban in your goats.
He doesn't really have an agreement with a wealthy landowner that he's trying to.
But it's amazing how God intervenes with this dream.
Yes.
That's a pretty major point.
Good.
There, because I mean, Laban actually, even though he's still Laban, but he's listening. He listened to the dream.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't
follow. He didn't follow. But yet he understood that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The where
Jacob ends up and Laban ends, even at the beginning of this passage, into the beginning of their discussion, like once Laban fails to find what he's accused Jacob of doing, or somebody from Jacob's house of doing, which somebody did do it, but when he fails to do it, that the tone of the discussion and the argument totally changes. Jacob goes on the offense, and Laban is kind of back on his heels and all that. But even before that, Laban is totally, he doesn't know what to do, because God has said, say nothing to him, either good or bad. Like, you need to watch very carefully what you say. And Laban responds, like, he doesn't know what... How he says what he says, even before saying, "Why did you steal my gods?" He's like, at one point, Jacob is driving his wives away, Laban's daughters away, by sword point, and then the very next thing that Laban says is, "And you fled away secretly," which the word there is a fugitive. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wait, like, which one is it, Laban? There's actually a turning point with some root letters at that point too. Like, and it just, Laban is totally, he does not know what to do. And that he recognizes that Jacob is still blessed. At the end, he recognizes Jacob's still blessed, and he's powerless. And so that's why he calls for this covenant And basically, it's a non-aggression pact, right? You don't come over here, I don't go over to you. And it's just, it's one of the, so the meal is part of the covenant ceremony. And you can just imagine the tension that's going on during that meal. It's like, this is not a joyful affair. This is a last meal full of tension. So,
as terrible as Laban was, he did put some protections in for his daughters.
He did. And that's actually one of the things that comes up throughout the chapter. Leah and Rachel are referred to not primarily as Jacob's wives, but Laban's daughters. And even in how they talk, that my father, and Jacob talks to them about your father. I mean, that's kind of natural. But then it's when Jacob and Laban are talking together, they're both referred to as Laban's daughters. And so he does that as a protection. But you notice that it's part of the covenant, which is a protection for himself, which means he recognizes even in that, like, you. If Jacob adds to his wives, then Rachel and Leah may go down with that. And so he is protecting his line. He's doing all that, but he's powerless to do anything to make sure it happens, which that's totally out of character for Laban at this point. So
Laban's claim that the daughters and kids are still his, is that just a reach on his part?
It's so he's the patriarch, he's the head of the whole household,
right?
And so legally, he
sold them, or
yeah, and I think that kind of gives you a hint. So okay, the children technically he can lay claim to, because of the household thing, but Jacob worked for for the wives. Right, for the daughters, and then he also worked for the flocks, so he is reaching, but it is Laban being Laban. So he takes advantage of one, like, technicality, the children, right? He takes advantage of that one technicality in order to blow everything up, and turn everything to his advantage. So he's doing what Laban's doing, what Laban does, but that's also an indication. Here's how here's how Jacob's wages get changed 10 times. Laban just comes up with something, and Jacob doesn't have any power to, or any authority to stick up for himself or anything like that. But now the tables are turned. Laban can't do anything. So I think it's Laban being Laban, and trying to use the technicality for his own benefit. And also showing he has no power now. So, does that make sense? Yeah.
So 10 times is not an exaggeration.
So, I don't know. I read, if you look at some commentaries, 10 times, you know, nice round, even number. It's hyperbolic or figurative for many times. So, without having that detailed throughout those 6 years, especially in the 6 years, this is what's interesting is how Jacob puts it. Like, chapter 30 seems to say Jacob's terms were with these mottled and speckled and spotted and all that stuff. But the way Jacob talks about it in chapter 31 is that, well, it was not all of them at the same time, but only some of them for part of the time. And so, you do have to use your imagination and have some flexibility. Like, okay, during the course of the 6 years, Laban is attempting to, okay, well, this is not working out for me. I need some new terms. Whether the 10 times is exact or not, we would need chapter 30 to be a whole lot longer in order to see that. Now, that does, the 10 times does get picked up later on when in Exodus and Numbers, when Israel rebels, grumbles against God 10 times. And so it, like, Israel in the wilderness is being more like Laban than they are Jacob. And so I think there is kind of drawing on that changing the wages 10 times thing. So it is used later. Good.
Does the reference to God as the God of your father, as he laid in stock, indicate his spiritual condition, Laban's spiritual condition?
So I don't think so. I think, so all the way down, it's interesting the way that this is put, especially because what Moses says right after that about the fear of Isaac. Okay, so yeah, verse 53, the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of their father judge between us. So Jacob swore by the fear of his father, Isaac. So the God of Abraham, reference to God, Yahweh. But again, remember Elohim for God, Hebrew, that's plural, right? So is Laban exploiting the language to say the God of Abraham and the gods of Nahor? So Nahor is I think the father of Abraham, is that right? No, that's Terah. Nahor is Laban's father. Yeah. And so there's already been this issue about these household gods, which we talk about what those are next time. But the way this is put, I mean, this is another way where Laban seems to be playing with language. The God of Abraham, it could mean the God of Nahor, like your God is my God. Or it could mean the gods of Nahor. And it's just kind of ambiguous because then it says the God of their father. Okay, their father is Terah. And, you know, we find out that the Terah, I think Stephen tells us that Terah moved from where he was in Ur north because God told him to move. But you know, that's what we have there. But how, so Laban's like, where is Laban here? And I think by Jacob's swearing by the fear of Isaac, that's totally unambiguous. It's totally clear who he's swearing by. Because this is the second of two times, I think, in the entire Bible where the fear of Isaac is used as a name for God. And Jacob had just used it several verses prior. So for them to be used that closely to one another, it's both times on Jacob. It's like Jacob is not doing the thing that Laban is doing, operating in a lack of clarity and ambiguity. He's being totally clear here. So I don't know. I don't know what Laban's... he's totally humbled. Yeah. Totally humbled. But whether or not that humility actually leads him to true worship, we don't, because this is it. This is it for Laban. We don't hear from him again.
And what God is he talking about in verse 50 when he says God is witness between you and me? Which God?
I would think that that's the last time the reference. So he talks about the Lord watch between you and me. So he's. I would say that God is witness. It's you, Isaac's God. I'm sorry, Jacob's God, who has appeared to Laban, but it doesn't seem like, because Laban is so concerned about these household idols, it doesn't seem like he's Yahweh is just another God in the mix, who happens to be stronger and better than any of his gods, based on how Jacob's come out. Good. Anything else? Lots of good questions and observations. Okay. Well, let's start up in verse 1 and see how far we can get. Okay, so now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what our father's, what was our father's, he has gained all this wealth. So Laban's sons are recognizing dad's not doing so well out of this. And obviously, so these are the same sons that have that good flock that was initially separated from Jacob when the agreement started. And they're just, I mean, they're looking at what's happened over the years of this separation between their flock that they're watching over and Jacob's flock. And they just see like, this is, everything belongs Jacob has totally ruined our father, which means that Jacob has totally ruined us, right? Because it's their inheritance. So he hears about this, and then he sees. Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. So I mean, it's just written. It's clear things are turning against Jacob. His time here is over. That's what it seems to be. But then Yahweh confirms it. Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred. So go back home, and I will be with you. So does this sound familiar to you from previous chapters? From anything? If so, what do you think?
When Jacob was leaving the land, God said he would be with him, and
good.
He saw the vision of the angel.
Good, yeah. Yeah, 28:15, not 12. 28:15, I will be with you. And there's also a connection here to Abram's initial leaving. Go, so not return to the land, but go to the land. Go to the land.
Go to the land which I will show you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's already in Jacob's mind that okay, it seems like this is not going well, and Yahweh just confirms it. He releases him. Now's the time to go, right? When you get to the end of the passage in chapter 32, Jacob has acknowledged God has been with me throughout this time. This is and obviously in accord with what God says here, what he said in chapter 28. I mean, it's clear, it's obvious, and Jacob recognizes it. He talks about it here just in a few verses with his wives. But at the end, he sees just how God was with him. The camps of God, these are God's camps, which means there's multiple camps. So just think about Jacob has his camp, his little tent city with his household. Laban has his on these two opposite hills, and then they part, they go their separate ways. And then once Jacob goes a little bit further, he sees two camps of angels. These the kinds of camps that they are, they're military camps. And so, like, God has emptied heaven in order to protect Jacob and to do good for him and to bless him, right? So that's where the story ends, and you see where it's how it begins here, how this section begins here. And it also, that also piggybacks off of what happens at Bethel with the angels going up and down that ladder, that staircase, and what God says, promising protection and provision and presence. Okay, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was. So going into the field, this is not where, basically just think like this is back alley meeting, like not out in the open, or I mean, it's out in the open, but yeah, it's private, yeah. So he does not want Laban or anybody to know what's going on. But what Jacob needs to do right now is to convince his wives to go with him. Okay, that's what he's doing when he gives this speech. So he says to them, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before. So this is just verse 2. But the God of my father, so his wife's father, the God of my father has been with me. So it says exactly what verse 3 says. So verse 2 and verse 3 are both coming out of Jacob's mouth. And you know that I have served your father with all my strength. So again, your father. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. So this is probably what's going on in the background that we're not told about until now in chapter 30. But God did not permit him to harm me. So you can kind of see this. This is the but God that we love from Ephesians, except Jacob experiences it right here in Genesis. But God, right? And so this is the second time that it comes up. But God did not permit him to harm me. So Jacob has been under God's protection this whole time, and And in various many ways, Laban has not been allowed to do anything against Jacob. This will come up later in Genesis 45 and Genesis 50 when Joseph speaks to his brothers about what they have done to him and how the evil that they did, the harm that they did to him, brought about a different result. So here you have, like, God has the power to prevent evil, to prevent wickedness to be done against his people, and God has the power to use that wickedness for his own ends, for his own purposes. So it's able to happen both. So he goes into more discussion about how the wages have been changed. If he said the spotted shall be your wages, then the flocks were all spotted. So here's the change of the wages, but then also go back to verse 7. God did not permit him to harm me. That harm doesn't have to do with Laban, just like, you know, he didn't let Laban beat me up. It's more like he didn't let Laban's schemes and changing of these terms to harm him financially, to harm his household, his growing household. So if they, so no, it's the spotted now. Well, then the flock bore spotted. No, it's the striped now. Those are your wages. Well, the flock bore striped. So whatever Jacob was doing back in chapter 30 with these strips and the poplar and in the poplar trees and the almond branches, and all, whatever he was doing there, he's recognizing, whether in the moment or after the fact, at this point, God's been, like, the reason it worked was because of God, right? So he recognizes that. And it's in this way that God, so this would be another but. So he changed my wages, but God, or in this way, God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. So going back and forth, that's the third time Laban did this, but God did that. And then here we go into a little bit, in verses 10 to 13, we go into a little bit more detail. Jacob goes into, okay, here's why this protection, provision, blessing happened. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes. So this is vision terminology. I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob, and he said, and I said, here I am. This makes us think of Abraham. And he said, lift up your eyes and see, all the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled. So all of that, so Jacob tells us what he sees in the dream. And then he says, here's what the angel said to me, look and see what's going on here. And that's said twice in order to highlight this for I have seen, you look and see, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. So this picks up on something that's been building, that what Jacob has seen, he's heard about Laban's sons complaining, they're grumbling, but then he also sees that Laban is not favorable to him any longer, and so there's this key word of seeing coming up. I think it's been used a couple other times up here. It's definitely going to be used later. And so why did this work? Why did the goats mating and the sheep mating in these ways and this crazy stuff? Because I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. So God this is protection. I mean, you want a way to make sure that it doesn't turn out well for you in the end. Just oppose God's people with hostility, right? Just oppose God's people. And then you'll know it's not going to turn out well for you. Now, perhaps you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should repent and things like that. But God has always been about protecting his people, providing for his people. He is, when God sees that his people are oppressed, he intervenes to save. And so a couple of things are going, like, God is behind these breeding practices. Now, whether or not Jacob gets the idea for this, like the strips in the wood from this vision or not, that's kind of ambiguous. Does this happen after the fact or does it happen before? It's ambiguous, but the point of it is not to say here's the timing of it, like where did Jacob get the idea? The point of it is to say the reason it worked is because of God. And he says, I am the God of Bethel, so that the God that appeared to you back in chapter 28, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. So what is God bringing up here to Jacob as Jacob's relaying this to his daughters, or to his wives, rather? Why would God bring up, and Jacob would repeat, what God says, I'm the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. What did he say? What did Jacob do and say at that point? Do you remember?
If God will be with me and keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread and clothing to wear, and I will come again to my father's house.
Yeah. And I'll give you a tenth.
And the Lord shall be my God.
The Lord shall be my
God. And the stone shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a tenth.
Yeah. Yeah, so God is reminding, mm-hmm. since I initiated that back at Bethel, and here's what you said. Remember what it is that you did. You anointed, like all you, and that's a reference to the oil. All you had was your staff and the oil. Like you didn't even have a pillow. You had to use one of my rocks for a pillow. And so so God is bringing this up to say, what I said I was going to do, I did, and brings up the vow to say, okay, you need to do what you said. I will be your God, right? So now arise, go out from this land and return. So again, another reference to really verse 3. This is, so what Jacob says to his wives is really, the end of verse 13 is what we saw, what Moses told us, back up in verse 3, and so now we get the rest of the story of what God had said in that to him. So, and again, this just harkens back to Abraham in chapter 12. Go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred, although he's returning. So then how are Rachel and Leah going to respond to this? Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? So our father comes up again. Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and he has indeed devoured our money. So what do you think is going, what do you think is going on there? And why they put it the way that they do in verses 14 and 15. So they're worried about the future, or they're thinking about the future, just as Laban's sons are thinking about the future. Any ideas, any thoughts on that? Why do they put it the way that they do?
Are they doubting Jacob's devotion to them to take care of
us? Where would you see that in those two verses, as far as Jacob's?
Why would they?
Okay.
Be concerned about their inheritance from their father, but
okay.
They see all that Jacob has and that they
right,
have.
Yeah.
But was it customary for the females to get inheritance?
No, but they would get a dowry. So whatever the groom gave to the father as part of the bridal price, the bride would receive in this. But in this case, Jacob did not have anything
right.
to give except himself. Right. And so what they're recognizing here is that if they stay, they'll lose everything. They'll lose everything because they're with Jacob.
Our father sold us to you, so mm-hmm. we don't really belong to him anymore. We mm-hmm. belong to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been eyewitnesses to all of this.
Right.
So they've seen the blessing that Jacob's.
Yeah.
By Laban trying to cheat Jacob, he's cheating his daughters.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what's going on. They see that Laban's treatment of Jacob is also his treatment of them. Because they belong to Jacob. They're Jacob's wives. And that's what I cut it off early, but in verse 16, all the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. And so then whatever God has said to you, do. So they recognize too, if we stick around, then the blessing, the prosperity that we've received would be in danger. And Laban's not going to take it easy on us. Like whatever Laban does to Jacob is going to happen to us, not individually, but because we're in Jacob's house. It's going to happen to our children. But then also that's negatively, but recognizing what's happened positively, God has blessed Jacob, which means God has blessed us.
And so therefore we better listen to God.
Yes.
Because if we don't, then yes, the other's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. We're going to turn out like Laban.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
And they resent that. Maybe that had something to do with it. We're going to get back to the idols, which always was a question for me with Rachel. And
yeah, why does she do
household
that?
Idols. But maybe that's just a matter of resentment for her dad because of what they're saying here. He's basically sold us out. And
I wonder if it was worth the money, too.
That's what I was
thinking. Well, I wonder, maybe that's my doubt. Maybe that's my,
perhaps.
He sold us, basically.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, but do they not believe in the same God at this point that Jacob does? Because it's your God. Whatever God tells you to do, do. But we're going to go ahead and do whatever we need to.
Yeah, it's not clear where they are. Like, with Laban, like we talked about earlier, what Danny brought up, Laban's like, yeah, God is real, but so are these other things. And so are they in the same spot? Now they have experienced like God, the mandrakes didn't work.
They've definitely experienced blessings, but they're still weak in their faith, I guess.
Now the thing with since we won't have to wait a couple weeks to get to it, I'll just talk about it now. The household gods that Rachel steals, there's a question about what they were. So were they these little statues, these little idols of gods, or were they of ancestors? Because the specific word that's used for them, it can mean idols, but it also can mean something about ancestors. And so ancestors would be represented by these figures that would be looking out for, looking over, protecting, providing for, from the heavenly realm or whatever, looking out for their descendants.
So taking protection,
provision. Moses doesn't give us much to go from on it, because the point is not necessarily what they were, but it just sets up for the drama that happens because Laban he feels around like a blind man, basically like Isaac, trying to feel around, is this Esau or is this Jacob? The same verbs used there. We'll go into that next time. But Laban fails to find anything in Jacob's tent and Leah's tent and the two servants' tents, and then goes to Rachel's tent. And so it's just like Moses could have jumped to the end to say, okay, he looked through all the tents and now he goes to Rachel. And so he's building tension there. It's like, oh, what's going to happen? Because Jacob has said, whoever, right? Because he doesn't know, right? His favorite wife, his beloved wife, she's the one who stole it. He doesn't know that. And so this episode does set up for that moment, but then it also sets up for, because he doesn't find it, Jacob is his integrity is intact. So yeah, it doesn't look good that he's left in the way that he does, but his explanation is plausible for why he left the way that he did, as protection for himself, but he did so with integrity. And that's what basically puts Laban on his heels. Like he has no ground to stand on after his accusation of stealing, not just stealing anything, but stealing something like it. This is family heirloom stuff, regardless of the identity of what these idols are. He's got nothing at that point. And he also has the, like, say nothing to Jacob, either good or bad. Well, an accusation of stealing that is wrong, that has no proof to it, could be interpreted by a God in heaven as saying something bad, right? And so Laban's like, he's he's done. He's totally done for. So, but that's kind of what's going on with, and that also sets up with the idols. That's what, and that sets up later when Jacob himself, when he's back in the land, he kind of goes to his back to his own ways, and his old ways, and he goes in chapter 35. He tells his family to get rid of these things. We are totally in God's corner. So yeah, Rachel, she's integrating things at this point. And Leah might be too. I don't know, but it's just messy, right? It's just messy, which we've been seeing throughout. But Rachel and Leah, they said, whatever God has told you to do, then do. We're with you. We'll be with you. And that's when he starts to leave. We'll pick it back up at verse 17 next time. So, and that'll be August 31st. So, what?
Oh, wait.
You thought we were still in July?
Or I thought you said
that was something. Oh, okay. Yeah, no. Yeah. Yep. So.
You're not even old. Old people think that.
Yeah. So it's anything. I mean, the main takeaway here is it builds throughout, but God protects his people. And we can be confident looking at God's.
Messy.
Even when it's messy.
I just see God's grace running through here because Jacob didn't deserve this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, just like us, we don't deserve God's grace. Mm-hmm. But yet, all the messiness, God still showers his grace. Mm-hmm. So it's
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you how you have shown yourself to be a protector and a provider. To be present with Jacob and with his family, and we thank you that's a truth that we can rely on, and we can depend upon you, that you will protect us, you will provide for us, and you are present with us, and so we thank you. Help us to learn from Jacob's mistakes and his flaws. Help us to see our own character flaws. So that we can grow in holiness and sanctification. And so we ask for the ministry of your Spirit in our lives for that purpose, that we would become more and more like Christ in our thinking, in our speaking, and in our living. So please help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.